Harper Audio presents His Christmas Pleasure by Kathy Maxwell, performed by Jamie Birch. Chapter 1. London, October 1810. The butt of the ornate dueling pistol was saw-handled, so it felt short in Andres' grip. Obviously, the gun's owner, the Duke of Banfield, didn't have hands as large as his own. However, Andres did like the spur on the trigger guard, which allowed a man to rest a finger and steady his aim. It was a magnificent weapon, truly bored, and no doubt sporting the fastest, most effective flintlock that ingenuity could design and money could buy. Andres had discovered it in Banfield's library when he'd escaped from the ballroom to avoid Carla, the lovely Lady Dobbins, and a man-eater of the First Order. A month ago, she'd set her sights on Andres with a ferocity that was becoming embarrassing. She was hunting him down, and even a meeting in public was no guarantee there wouldn't be a scene. The moment he'd arrived this evening, she'd rushed up to him, brushing past others in her anxiousness to claim him. As soon as he'd been able, he'd freed himself of her and made his way to this safe haven. He couldn't let Carla chase him off. Tonight was important. Banfield was not one who enjoyed the country. He had become known for the parties he hosted in the fall and winter, when often the only people left in town were those in politics, those with power and advantage. Andres, who claimed the Spanish title Barón de Vascoña, hoped to make an advantageous contact this evening that could lead to a possible career in the English government. The English were at war on the continent. They had need of a man who understood the peninsula, or even the world. Andres had travelled much of both, and he knew that, given the chance, he could make a contribution to this new country of his. Of course, a government career was not his first choice of livelihood. Horses were in his blood. But a man without 2 shillings to his name, titled or not, couldn't be choosy. The library was obviously Banfield's personal domain. Not even the strains of music or the dizzying hum of laughter and conversation from the ballroom intruded past these book-lined walls. The furnishings were Sheraton, severe and plain to Andres' eye. The settee and 3 chairs were grouped before a fire burning in the grate. Beyond them was Banfield's desk, a heavy, oversized structure carved from mahogany. The pair of dueling pistols had been displayed like prized possessions in a velvet case on Banfield's desk. Their ivory handles had gleamed in the lamplight, drawing Andres to them. He doubted if Banfield had ever used these guns for their true purpose. The Duke was far too amiable a character to find himself in duels, unlike Andres, who had participated in more than his share. Most likely, the Duke kept these weapons for show, or to take out occasionally for practice. They were a living symbol of his ducal honour, which was a pity, Andreas thought, as he raised the weapon. He tested its sight by focusing on one of those ghoulishly grinning porcelain dogs on the mantel. This pistol was too fine to not be used for its intended purpose. His eye caught movement. Instincts honed by years of hard living brought the gun around. He took aim, and then realized he was preparing to shoot his own reflection in a large, ornate bullseye mirror hanging on the opposite wall. For a moment, Andreas stood still, fascinated by his distorted image in the mirror. His face was larger in the center, his shoulders and arms small. Slowly, deliberately, he turned his hand so the gun aimed at his head. How easy it would be to pull the trigger. He stood, riveted by the sight, by the temptation. At last, he understood his father. Death would be freeing. No more struggles to reclaim a heritage Andres knew was hopelessly lost, though he feared it had never been his to begin with. No more carrying the weight of his own mistakes, his many failures, or the pain of living without love. He could curse Gillian for introducing him to what the word meant and then leaving him to return to her husband.